You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Mason in Ireland. Momo's here. And we've covered a lot. Chris mentioned that Greg was at the Raider-Charger game yesterday.
Gotta give love to Sliwa for doing that, by the way. He was fantastic.
And
I agree.
So were the Charger fans cocky when you were walking out that they won the game?
I mean, there was a little bit of that, yeah. You know, I almost got into a fight with a Charger fan.
Over what?
What were
the circumstances?
Well, we were talking. So we were walking into the building. It was before it actually started. And we were walking into the building, and somehow we got onto Cincinnati and losing in the playoffs to Cincinnati. And they're like, oh, well, we beat up on Cincinnati in the regular season, and you guys lost to them in the playoffs. And I just said,
didn't even make the playoffs.
I said, yeah, it's in the playoffs, though. You didn't make it. And I put my hand on his side. And I was like, it's all right, man. I just kind of like slightly tapped him on his shoulder. He said, don't touch me, bro.
Oh, God. one of those guys.
He was ready to go.
Please.
I was like, whoa, man. He was surrounded by silver and black, by the way. That was not a good call for him.
All right, so I want to talk about the Lakers and specifically what's going to happen with Russell Westbrook. And, Momo, I was listening over the weekend. I thought your appearance on Zach Lowe's podcast was really good.
Could you tell it was, like, super early in the morning and I was sleepy?
No.
Okay, good.
No, you came off great.
Sold it. Okay, good.
But he had an idea as to what he would do if he coached the Lakers. And Zach's podcast is called The Low Post. And you and him were talking about what the Lakers could do with Russ. And this was Zach's suggestion, and I want to ask you, and we'll open this up, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Would this work? Here's Zach Lowe.
We'll start you because that matters to you.
Mm-hmm.
You want that respect level. We'll start you. We're going to make a sub real fast. We're going to take you out 4 minutes into the first and third quarters. For those 4 minutes, you are Draymond plus corner shooter plus defense. Then we're going to bring you back in with Lonnie Walker and Austin Reeves and Troy Brown Jr. and Thomas Bryant. And the other guys are going to sit. You can be Russ for a six-minute stretch here and then another six-minute stretch in the second half. And then crunch time, we'll decide.
Momo, would it work?
I like that idea a lot.
The problem would be, in my opinion, mm-hmm. getting Russ to buy in.
Right.
Would he buy that?
So I like to put myself in other people's shoes, okay?
Sure.
And if I'm Russell Westbrook, last year was awful. Last year was in my hometown with my friends and family, hearing Westbrook all the time. It was really hard to watch him go through that. I can't imagine living through that if I was him. So where is Russ's head at right now? It is on reestablishing himself and reasserting himself as an all-star level player. Proving he still has a spot in this league, proving he still has MVP game, he has MVP type moments, proving last year was Frank Vogel's fault, not his, or whatever you want to phrase it. Probably not the right mindset to accept a role like what Zach was explaining. I don't know that he's been, and I don't want to use this word because I don't think Russell would ever be humiliated, right? But he has to have been humbled by last year. Although I don't think that is in his wiring. I don't think, even if you and I would be thinking, oh, he's been humbled by it. Westbrook, Russ, the one that we know since UCLA, since high school, he is a proud man. He has a lot of swagger and a lot of confidence. I don't think he'll ever accept that premise.
So if he doesn't, how does this play out?
If he makes his shots and he plays some defense, I think it'll be okay. The emphasis is on defense. If he does what, you know, if he's a little wild on offense, if there's still some awkward fit next to LeBron and AD, if there's still the shooting not as great, that's okay as long as he plays defense. If he doesn't play defense, I think it will be bad for him and the Lakers.
Well, hopefully, if people who don't play defense get yanked.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what Zach's saying. If you, the offensive side of it, John, I mean, you covered them last year. They were, if not the worst defensive team in the league, right up there, especially in moments like that.
I always say, if you're talking to somebody about the Lakers and what they should do or what they, you know, getting someone's opinion, and they don't bring, say, the word defense in the first 30 seconds, then you're talking to the wrong person.
They didn't watch.
They didn't see our games.
You don't think that 12 minutes of Russ being Russ is too much?
I don't know, but only one way to find
out. I still believe that he can be Russ for 12 minutes in a game like that. If you put him with the right personnel and you build a system and certain offensive sets around him, I do think he can be an effective player. However, I don't think that's what the Lakers need unless he can also play. If he plays defense the way Darvin Ham needs to play defense, if he buys in, then I think there's a good role for him on the team.
I think you're right, especially with the defensive part. But when it comes to him being Russ, we saw almost 82 games of him being Russ because LeBron was hurt. Anthony Davis was hurt. We saw Russ being Russ, and that was for more than those 12 minutes. I don't think I even want to see those 12 minutes at this point. I want him to be the guy that Zach Lowe was talking about, Draymond Green hitting corner threes.
That's what they were pitching him last year, too.
Yeah, and he wasn't buying. Here's Henry in Roland Heights. Hey, Henry, you're on ESPN LA. What would you do with Westbrook?
Hey, so this question is for Ramona. I know, John, you can't speak on it. But I thought of, what if Rob calls Mitch Kupchak and tries to work on a deal for Gordon Hayward and Terry Rozier for Westbrook? Wanted to get your thoughts on that.
So that's been out there a bit. It's been something I've heard speculated on since the end of last year. It makes a lot of sense in that Hayward makes a lot of money, hasn't been able to perform.
Do those two guys, Hayward and Rozier, have money beyond this year on their deals?
I think Rozier does.
Okay.
I think Hayward.
Because I think that's a fly in the ointment, too.
But I think the reason why it always keeps getting brought up is people forget Russell Westbrook is the Jordan brand.
Right.
Michael Jordan owns the Hornets. If there's somebody who believes in Russ, it is Michael Jordan. I mean, obviously his company invested in him in the way that Russ is so competitive, and Michael admired that in him, especially during those MVP years. But think about the way that team is built. That is LaMelo Ball's team now.
Right.
And I don't know. Do you put Russ out there? How would Russ play with LaMelo? I don't know if that's a fit.
Yeah, and because they both need the ball.
Yeah.
Terry Rozier still has 4 years left on his contract.
Yeah.
I think that's a non-starter.
4 years, 96 mil.
Here's John in Beverly Hills. Hey, John, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
You know, Russ can't be Russ anymore because, you know, we don't need that no playing defense, running up and down the floor like your hair's on fire, no low shooting percentage. We need efficiency, okay? And he won't be in the game. Darvin Ham's not going to play. If he's not playing defense, he will get yanked. But I will say, the last 10 games of last year, that version of Russ I like. Going to the basket, high percentage shots, playing with energy. That's the Russ we want to see. We want to see a more efficient, a defensively locked-in Russ. That Russ is what the Lakers need.
All right, thank you, John, for the phone call. And by the way, Ramona, I think Darvin has no choice. Maybe LeBron and AD, you can look the other way if they don't play defense because they're so important to your success. But anybody else who doesn't defend, he's got to pull them, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I think
his success depends on it.
If LeBron doesn't play defense, he's got to pull. I mean, like, that's literally...
I don't know if he can.
I don't know if he can, but that is the key for Darvin, is to be the same guy and be consistent with every single player on the team. Like, who are the coaches who've gotten the most out of LeBron? Like, Tyronn Lue.
Yeah.
Eric Spoelstra. I think Spo got a lot out of him. And it's a lot of it is because Ty was not afraid to challenge LeBron. Now, you could say LeBron. I think LeBron responds very well to structure and discipline and consistency. LeBron doesn't need someone to push him to train, to be in great shape. But I think one of the reasons why, you know, they traded for Patrick Beverley, and one of the reasons they think he's going to work in that locker room, is because Pat Bev is the type of guy that will say what he sees when he sees LeBron. Like, he will play that Jared Dudley role. Now, will he be as diplomatic as Dudley was? Dudley would say the truth to your face, like he would say uncomfortable truths, but he would say it in a Jared Dudley way. Like, he would say it nice. Pat Bev will just say it, so I don't know how that's going to go over the course of a long season, but they need somebody like that. They haven't had somebody like that since Jared left.
Okay, coming up. Did you guys know that Steph Curry and the Warriors took a serious run at Kevin Durant and bringing him back last month? It's true. We'll let you in on the details next. Momo and Fermace, I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Mason in Ireland. Coming up is Game of Games, by the way. It's my game today. It's close this month. A bunch of people have one. Does anybody have two yet, Greg? I don't think so.
No, nobody has two.
I think last
time. My time to shine.
Here comes Momo.
You don't have one yet. It's Bergman 1, Funchess 1, Pepe 1, Ireland 1, Jorge 1, and Mason 1. You could win today.
I haven't played yet.
Yeah,
this
you
month.
Could win today.
Have I?
This game. This game might actually favor you the more that I think about it. But we'll see. That's coming up in about 25 minutes. Okay, so I mentioned that Steph Curry did an interview with Rolling Stone. And in it, he surprised a lot of people when he openly admitted that the Warriors considered breaking up their championship team and making a run at Kevin Durant. He did five interviews, Curry did, with Rolling Stone, with a reporter named Matt Sullivan. And Sullivan asked him, did you consider the idea of a blockbuster trade to bring back former superstar teammate Kevin Durant? Hell yes, Curry said to Rolling Stone. He talked about the fact that Kevin Durant is misunderstood, and I would welcome him back with open arms. This is Steph talking. There was a conversation internally amongst us. If he was available, would you? Every team has those conversations. And obviously in our situation, they're going to call and ask me, how do you feel about it? I never hesitated. The idea of playing with KD and knowing who he is, I think he's a really good dude. I think he's misunderstood. I think he's had certain things happen in his life to hurt his ability to trust people around him. So all those things I understand, having played with them and gotten to know him, I love that dude. And if you said, okay, KD's coming back and we're going to play with him, I had so much fun, I'd be like, hell yeah. Do you think he's just being complimentary to Durant? Or how serious? And what would that even look like? The Nets would probably ask for, and I'm just thinking out loud here, there's no way they do this trade without Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole. I think they're getting them both, right?
Yeah, I think you could do it with one, but you'd have to make the money work some other way. So
well, Wiggins gets paid a lot.
And he's also – okay, so Wiggins has one more year left on his deal, then he's unrestricted free agent.
Right.
Jordan Poole is eligible for an extension now before the season. He's about to get paid. Draymond Green is eligible for an extension now. I don't know how much he gets paid or if that happens now or later. Klay Thompson makes a lot of money. All these guys would probably be in the mix if this kind of a trade. To me, the Warriors are not the Warriors without Draymond Green because he's so vital to the way that they play. I would have said that the Warriors are not the Warriors without Klay, but they were without Klay for a couple of years and they actually did okay. So I think he and Jordan Poole and Wiggins are kind of all grouped together, and you have to say who amongst them would stay, who would go. I think when I read these quotes, It reminded me a lot of Shaq and Kobe.
In what sense?
When they broke up, a couple years later, both of them started sending kind of love letters through the media.
Right.
Both of them would say how great they were. Shaq started saying we were the most dominant duo ever. That Kobe would talk about Shaq sort of reverentially or nostalgically. All of which is to say they appreciated each other once they were apart. But there was no way in hell they were probably getting back together, nor would they redo things if they could. I think Durant probably misses what he had in Golden State now. I think he needed to separate, needed to do things on his own, but I think he misses the stability that he had in that locker room and in the organization. I think Steph Curry misses having, missed having Kevin as a teammate and understands him and feels like, but Steph can say that now because he just won Finals MVP.
Right. If I said to you right now, pick one team to come out of the West this year, this coming season, would it be the Warriors or would it be somebody else?
I'll always say the Warriors because I like to go with the defending champs. I think they deserve that respect. I don't know about the Warriors this year, though, because they have all those questions I outlined for you.
Yeah.
Do they give Jordan Poole money? Do they pay Andrew Wiggins? Do they pay Draymond Green? Do they keep Klay Thompson? Like, these hang over a team like that, and there's a sort of last dance quality because you don't know that they can keep everyone together.
Right. And it's hard to repeat.
It really is.
And I don't know what the Clippers are.
Yeah,
I just, on paper, they look good, but I'd be really hesitant to take the Clippers, even if Kawhi and Paul George are healthy, because you just don't know if they can stay healthy.
Right.
Which is most people's hesitation with the Lakers. Can LeBron and AD stay healthy? I don't know who I would take.
I think Dallas took a step backwards. They lost Jalen Brunson, although I still think Luka's amazing. Denver, we don't know what they are because we don't know when Jamal Murray, when he comes back, he hasn't played in a long time. Phoenix, I think, took a step backwards. They certainly didn't take a step forwards. Memphis, to me, feels like a team that could win it.
That could jump, yeah.
Minnesota could jump.
New Orleans is going to be better.
New Orleans is going to be better. Portland's going to be better. I don't know. Utah obviously is going to go backwards. I don't know. The West feels really wide open, and when it's wide open, I generally go with the team that won it last year.
I think there's only a couple of teams, and the teams I'm thinking about are San Antonio and Utah, who are not going to compete for a playoff spot. I think everybody else is competing for one. I think even Portland could try and get like the 8th seed or something.
Yep.
Sacramento probably won't make it, but they're not going to tank.
Yeah, I think
San Antonio and Utah are probably going to tank, don't you?
Yeah, well, they've been signaling that. You know who they really like is this guy, Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, everybody's talking about it. You know he's going to play G League Ignite this year.
Yeah, oh no, play against them. His French team is going to play against them.
Right.
It's in Vegas in a couple of weeks. So I think the scouts I talked to say he has Giannis kind of qualities. So there's a sort of there's a sort of like race to tank to get a chance at this Victor Wembanyama. There's also there's some twins who are really good this year. It's a pretty good draft class that teams are positioning for.
Which is why draft picks are so valuable in like this whole kind of world. It'll be interesting to see. By the way, what are you hearing about this? There's rumors all over the place that the NBA is about to announce Las Vegas and Seattle are getting expansion teams. Are you buying that?
They're having the owners' meetings this week.
I think would happen if that happened, if Las Vegas and Seattle were both getting expansion teams, and I think this would be significant for Laker fans, I think they'd move Memphis to the East.
I do too.
Because Memphis is in the Eastern time zone, but they play in the Western Conference.
Could be New Orleans too. New Orleans could move as well.
But Memphis is farther east than New Orleans.
Agreed.
So I think it'd be awesome for the Lakers, and it would reduce travel for everybody in the West. I'd love to see Vegas and Seattle get a team. Seattle, it's been without a team for too long.
Yeah, I don't know that this happens this week though. I don't think they're far enough along. But I don't know. You never know. A lot of times they don't announce. Like when UCLA and USC moved to the Big Ten without anybody knowing.
Right. So here's when we talk about a team in Seattle, here's one of my last memories of Seattle. When I first started traveling in the league, the Sonics were in the league. We'd go up to Seattle twice a year. Just a great spot. So one day, we're at the Fairmont Olympic Hotel. And I would go over to the games with Chick and Stu. And this was near the end of Chick's career. And we're in a turnaround at the Fairmont Olympic Hotel.
Like a roundabout?
Yeah. Okay. Like where you go to get a cab.
Okay.
And a limo pulls up. And Guy gets out of the car and he goes, Chick, Stu, what are you guys doing here? And Stu, and my eyes are like wide open because I can't believe who it is. And Stu goes, what are we doing here? What are you doing here? He goes, I'm putting on a show. We're doing a show here tomorrow night. Are you guys staying in town? You want to go? And Chick goes, no, we're playing tonight and then flying right back home. He goes, Chick, he goes, you are the reason I'm a basketball fan. I don't really like basketball, but I like you, so I watch you do all the games. And Chick said, well, thank you very much. And Stu says, well, obviously, we're huge fans of yours, and this is a pleasure to meet you. And he goes, thanks. He goes, have fun at your game. And Stu says, have fun at your show. And I'm watching this whole thing go down, and I'm, like, blown away. And Chick turns to Stu, and he says, who was that?
Who was it?
And Stu goes, Chick, you know who that is. He goes, do I? He goes, that's Elton John.
Oh.
And Chick goes, really? He goes, never met him in person before.
Oh, my God.
But that's how
Elton John.
That's how many people Chick touched with, like, his thing there.
Elton John watches basketball. I wouldn't have known that.
And knew who Chick was.
And knew who Chick was.
Yeah, we got to get back to Seattle. The other thing about that hotel.
I love Seattle.
We're in that hotel. So picture downtown Seattle's like a grid where the fish market is and everything else there. And
it's like New York, how it's organized. Yeah. It's all square. Yeah.
True story, Momo. On one corner was our hotel.
Okay.
Okay. So picture four corners on a street corner.
It's right by the fish market?
Yeah, near it.
Yep.
Okay. On the other three corners, Starbucks.
Of course.
Like right across the street from each other and then this hotel. Like you couldn't have enough coffee houses up there. It was crazy. And Nordstrom was like six blocks long.
Oh, my God.
Up in Seattle. I don't know if it still is or not. But
that's the corporate headquarters. In
Nordstrom, it's such a great spot.
Good city. We used to play at University of Washington, and their softball field is right next to Husky Stadium where the football field is.
And you can tailgate in a boat.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. You could tailgate in a boat. Like, people would just be, like, in their boats outside, like, watching us play. I mean, it was, like, not football season, and, like, they'd bring in frat boys. They'd bring in, like,
I was a TV sideline reporter for a game up there one year, and I did a live shot from a boat.
Oh, my God.
I go, well, the great thing about this stadium is you can start on land, but then you're on sea, and the guy backed the boat out. And I said, see you guys.
So good.
Ty Willingham was the coach up there. I said, man, if you guys get people up there when it's sunny, you can get anybody, can't you? He goes, anybody. Because problem is, there aren't very many sunny days.
No.
You got to pick your spots. all right. But I'd love to see the NBA get Seattle and Vegas would be great. All right. What would you do? Albert Pujols is sitting on 697 home runs. If you caught his 700th home run ball, what would you do with it? Like, what would you ask for? Would you give it back to him? Would you keep it? Would you sell it? You might be surprised what happened when somebody caught 697 over the weekend and they decided they wanted to give it back to Albert. And I'll tell you what happens. And then after that, game of games. Momo's first chance to get on the board in September. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did I see that Dave Matthews is coming to the Hollywood Bowl? I think he is.
Is he really?
End of the
it's
month.
It's actually a good concert. I've seen him a few times.
There may be some cannabis at that concert. I'm not sure.
No.
Maybe a little bit.
But there may be. Yeah. All right. So, Momo, Albert Pujols is sitting on 697 home runs. He's one short of A-Rod and three short of 700. He says he is retiring for sure at the end of the month. You know, he may go, it may bleed into the playoffs postseason because the Cardinals are good this year. But if you're at a game and you caught Albert Pujols at 700th home run, and the Cardinals people come over to you and they say, Ramona, come with me, bring the ball. We're going to negotiate because Albert wants that ball. What would you ask for?
I would just give it to him. I'm a purist. I'm a sort of, this is your ball. This is your moment. This is your memorabilia. And if I'm Albert and somebody just gives it without a negotiation, I actually think that I give something to that fan. I think you get more by not asking for anything.
I could not agree more. I don't even think I would insist on meeting Albert. Bergman, you catch home run number 700. They say, Greg, we're going to make you a deal. Come with me. And they take you downstairs and they say, Albert wants that ball. What do you want?
I want season tickets to the Dodger game. I know you're with the Cardinals, but I don't care. You got to get me Dodger stuff.
Right.
I want a signed baseball bat from Mookie Betts. I want a signed baseball.
I want an Oompa Loompa now.
I want a signed baseball from Clayton Kershaw, and I want to be able to go down to the dugout club whenever I want for the next 10 years.
You know what you are?
Yeah, smart.
You're a leech. That's who you are. Briones, what do you want? You got a home run ball number 700.
Heiress. Get me an heiress, too.
That's a reasonable request.
That's what you need. I'll just take an autographed baseball or a jersey. That's about it.
Yeah.
Nothing
that's
crazy.
That's
Ramona, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I would just say, here, take it. Not mine.
Yeah.
It's his. He should have it. So, yesterday.
These are boring.
No, wait a minute, though. Listen to this, Greg.
Leech.
Yesterday. Yeah, listen to this, leech. Pujols hit 697 yesterday.
The 696 ball, or 7?
697 yesterday.
Wow.
Okay, needs three more. One more to catch A-Rod, three more to get to 700. It was caught by a couple, Matt and Samantha Brown. Samantha's father passed away 1 year ago to the day when they caught the home run ball. They met with Albert after the game to give him the ball back. He told them, keep it, and he signed two more for him, said it would mean more to her than it would to him.
Wow.
How great is that?
That's cool.
That he would do that.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought, now, I mean, you might run into a guy like Bergman that's going to insist on the moon. You know what I would tell you,
everything.
By the way?
I want everything.
Go pound sand.
Okay, if you do that, then I take the ball home.
Good.
And sell it on eBay for $50 million.
I don't think you're getting $50 million.
No, probably not, but I'm going to take it home, and then
you know,
he doesn't
like,
get it.
It's like you're like the person who would like buy somebody's website domain, like some famous person. You'd buy the name before they could register it and then charge them a bunch to get it back.
I would do that to Mark.
By the way, did you see Ty Cobb's dentures, Bergman?
No, that's ridiculous.
Went for $12,000.
That's so much.
Gross.
Why would I want Ty Cobb's dentures? Do you have any memorabilia in your house?
Yeah, I have a little bit, but not really.
I don't. I don't have any.
You don't have any?
Yeah.
I have stuff, but it's not super meaningful. The only stuff that's meaningful to me are experiences that I was at
right.
where I picked something up. Like sometimes the
let me tell you something.
Yeah.
If you didn't pick it up yourself,
yeah.
there's a really good chance that thing is fake.
Yeah.
Like Mason has a signed Sandy Koufax ball. I was with him. This is in the 90s. Mason and I were in Vero Beach, and Sandy Koufax walked through, and Mason asked him to sign a ball, and he did it. So I know that is authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kobe used to tell me that he would see stuff for sale online that he never signed, and it wasn't his signature, and people were just selling it. And, and the biggest scam is, quote-unquote, certificate of authenticity. Because if you're going to fake the ball.
Yeah.
You're going to fake the certificate of authenticity, right?
Yeah.
So I think memorabilia is a dangerous game. Like, you know, trying to decide how much you'll pay for something or what it's worth. Like, I want the last balls anyone ever hit. Like, Bergman's talking about going online and selling that ball for $50 million. How do I know he just didn't pocket the ball and put a phony one in there?
I got video to prove it.
Yeah, but you could switch the ball out.
Yeah, but why you can't switch the ball out?
Well, no, I mean, because you're going to see, well, I mean, I guess I could.
Right.
And then I could sell it again for another $50 million.
And then find some other stupid sucker who will pay you for that.
Hey, people would buy it.
People do buy
stuff. That girl was selling farts, remember?
People would in a jar.
Exactly. Yeah, true.
So people would buy this stuff.
That girl was pretty good looking.
Was she?
Yeah, but I wouldn't buy her farts in a jar.
Yeah, you don't buy the farts. It's ridiculous.
But it is kind of funny what dumb things guys will do for good-looking girls. We were talking about that today. That the amount of ridiculous stuff you'll put up with if you're a guy is directly proportional to how good looking the girl is. And if she's like super good looking, you'll say like, why would you ever go out with her? What would you put up with that? It all comes back to that. Guys are, guys are so
dumb. Totally. It's not even just guys. I just think good looking people get away. Even just a girl, like a girl will do that around another girl who's really good looking.
Right.
Or a really good looking guy will do that. It's just good looking people just get away with.
Well, do you watch Bill Maher's show?
Yeah.
Okay. So he had a really interesting panel this past week, and they were talking about how dating apps have screwed up young people. And their consensus was that if you have 100 guys and 100 girls on a dating app, that the 100 girls will focus on the 4 best-looking guys and ignore the other 96. And the same thing in reverse. Like the 10 best-looking girls will get all the attention. And it's just a blow to these people's self-esteem because these guys were like ready to – they wanted to end all dating apps, end TikTok, have kids give up their phone. You know, it was like – but it was interesting to hear them say what they feel has – deteriorated with young men in this country about how they're too attached to video games, too attached to their phones, a lot of them don't work. 7 out of 10 valedictorians are girls.
Wow. And
they made an interesting point. Girls with degrees have no interest in guys that don't have degrees.
Wow.
It's like statistically proven. They don't want to date guys who are uneducated. So it was an interesting thing. But all this stems back from, I think if you're chasing memorabilia, there's a really good chance it's fake.
Yeah.
Really good chance it's fake. All right, coming up next, Game of Games. Bergman, anybody in the afternoon show playing?
Love Bo.
Cap's going to play. Jorge's going to play. Momo's going to play. And I have the game, and it's all next. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA. All right, it is time for Game of Games, and joining us is the one and only Scott Kaplan, a man who made me $10,000 in mythical money by being able to jump rope 100 consecutive times without screwing it up. How are you, Cap?
What is going on today, John Ireland? I'm very happy that I was finally able to win for you. I lost the softball game for you. I lost the push-up challenge for you. I finally won for you.
No, you're on my good side now. And I actually think you may be what's standing in the way of Ramona Shelburne winning her first game of games for the month, because this is going to skewer towards people that are older. So I think Greg and Jorge may struggle a little bit, but maybe not.
Okay. Hi, Momo.
As you all know, Monday Night Football returns tonight. The debut of Joe Buck and Troy Aikman as the Broncos visit the Seahawks in Seattle. With that in mind, I have a Monday Night Football quiz. It's multiple choice, so you all have a chance.
Okay.
Swag.
Here we go. In the first season of Monday Night Football, during a 23-20 Philadelphia Eagles win over the New York Giants,
totally remember that.
Howard Cosell left the game at halftime and did not return. What happened to him that caused him to miss the second half? A, he had a bout with laryngitis and his voice gave out.
All right.
B, he drank too much and threw up on Don Meredith's shoes. C, ABC received a death threat and they removed Cosell for safety reasons. Jorge, laryngitis, drank too much, or death threat? Which one was it?
I'll say A.
You're saying laryngitis. Okay, Greg.
I know he liked to drink, but I think he could hold his liquor, so I'll go with C.
All right, you're going death threat. Momo.
I will go with drank too much.
Okay, Cap.
Yeah, also puke.
As I suspected, Momo and Cap get on the board early. He drank too much and threw up on Don Meredith's shoes. Very famous scene in the Monday Night Football movie. All right, question two. What player set a Monday Night Football record with 221 yards rushing in a game in 1987. 221 yards. Was it A, Bo Jackson, B, Eric Dickerson, or C, Earl Campbell? Jackson, Dickerson, or Campbell, Bergman?
I have no clue. I'll say Earl Campbell.
Okay, Momo.
Bo Jackson.
Cap.
My choices are Bo Jackson, Earl Campbell, and who? Oh, Eric Dickerson.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Earl Campbell.
Okay, Jorge.
Dickerson.
And Bergman, you already guessed, right?
Yeah, I said Earl Campbell.
I don't like my choice now.
I don't know.
Momo, you said Bo Jackson, right?
I said Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson is the correct answer.
Oh.
Did
you
that
not
was
like
the,
it because I said it?
That, well, wait a minute. Didn't you say someone other than
I said Earl Campbell, but I'm saying Cappy. You didn't like it because I said it?
No, that's not why. It's
Earl
because
Campbell's
I started
earlier.
To think. I started thinking of the year.
Yeah, 87, Earl Campbell's earlier.
Okay, so Momo has two, and Cappy has one, and the rest of you stiffs don't have any. all right.
Donuts.
Number three. Momo, you go first this time. For 11 years, from October of 1970 to December of 1981, which team went 18-1-1 on Monday Night Football? Right. Was it A, the Steelers, B, the Cowboys, or C, the Raiders? Steelers, Cowboys, or Raiders, Momo?
Steelers, Cowboys, or Raiders? I will say the Steelers.
All right, Cap.
Raiders.
Jorge.
How about them Cowboys?
Greg.
What was the years?
Steelers, Cowboys, and Raiders.
No, the years. The years.
70 to 81.
Raiders.
Raiders is the correct answer, Momo. I can't believe you didn't pick the Raiders.
Well, you just did a Bo Jackson one, so I thought it would be too obvious.
So Momo 2, Cap 2, Bergman 1, Jorge.
Raiders were good in those years. But
what's
Raiders,
going on with the swag system, man?
Vacation mode still, man.
Okay. All right, Cap, you go first this time.
Okay.
In 2000, the San Francisco 49ers did something they had not done in 19 seasons on Monday Night Football. What was it? A, for the first time, they played a Monday Night Football game without Jerry Rice on the roster. B, the Niners didn't appear on Monday Night Football at all that season. Or C, they scored 50 points in a Monday Night Football game. So, Cap, no Jerry Rice, no appearance at all, or 50 points in a Monday Night game. Which was it?
B, no appearance.
Jorge.
No appearance.
Greg.
No appearance.
Momo.
I'll also say no appearance.
All correct. Yeah, I knew I wouldn't get you on the Jerry Rice. I thought I might get you on the 50 points game. Yeah, they did not appear. They were on Monday Night Football every year for 19 years until that season, and they bagged them. All right. Momo 3, Cap 3, Bergman 2, Jorge 1. Here we go. In 1986, Monday Night Football went to a two-man announce booth after 17 years of having three men call the game. Who were the two-man announce team? Who was the two-man announce team in 1986? Jorge, was it A, Frank Gifford and Al Michaels? B, Al Michaels and Dan Dierdorf? C, Frank Gifford and Fran Tarkington? A, B, or C?
You said 86?
86.
Man, I was born that year, so I'll go with C.
C, Frank Gifford and Fran Tarkington. Greg?
I like that answer, too, even though it's probably not the right answer. I'll go with C.
You'll go C? Yeah. All right, Momo.
The one with Dierdorf.
Al Michaels and Dan Dierdorf, Cap.
I think I'm also going to go with C.
All of you missed it. The answer is Frank Gifford and Al Michaels were a two-man booth that year.
Oh, and then they added
with
Dan
Al
later.
Doing the play-by-play and Frank doing the color. Yeah,
that's what screwed me up. I was wondering who would have done what.
All right, so Momo and Cap still tied for the lead. Two more, and then I got a tiebreaker. As Monday Night Football's popularity soared, celebrities started dropping by the booth during games. Which politician and singer appeared together on the same Monday Night Football broadcast? Was it A, Eminem and Bill Clinton? B, John Lennon and Ronald Reagan? Or C, Frank Sinatra and Gerald Ford? Momo, Eminem and Clinton, Lennon and Reagan, Sinatra and Ford.
Oof. Sinatra and Ford.
Cap.
I'm also going Sinatra and Ford.
Jorge.
Lennon and Reagan.
What year was it?
I didn't give a year.
You didn't give a year. Oh. I'm going to go Eminem and Clinton.
Jorge gets the point.
Yay, Jorge.
It was John Lennon and Ronald Reagan, and they say what was cool was afterwards, Lennon and Reagan went to the back of the booth, and Reagan had to explain the rules of football to Lennon. At the time, he was the governor of California. It was at a Rams game.
Wow. Do you know what year that was, by the way? Because I know you didn't give it, but I'm curious if you know.
It's got to be like the 80s.
Yeah, well.
Early 80s.
Right. I think it was in 1979.
Okay.
And then right after that, like 6 months later, John Lennon was killed.
Yeah. Right. And that's what I was wondering, because remember Cosell mentioned it during the broadcast. Remember that?
Okay. Yep. It was 1974. So,
Was 74?
Yep. Wow,
okay, thanks. Really.
Let it be. Let it be.
Okay, here we go. So here we go. I'm Bergman and Jorge got to pay attention here. I'll let you two go last.
Thank you.
They have three. Momo and Cappy have three. You guys have two.
Got it.
So you got to go opposite of them to stay alive. Yep. Here it is. Last one. During a 1972 blowout Monday night game between the Raiders and Houston Oilers, a fan did something that added a little spice to an otherwise boring game. What was it? A, he streaked from one sideline to the other before being caught. B, he gave the middle finger to the camera before the director could cut away. Or C, he got close to the broadcast booth and yelled, "Cosell for president," to which Don Meredith said, "Howard, you can't afford the pay cut." All right, Momo. So was it a streaker, a guy that gave the middle finger, or a guy who yelled Cosell for president?
Middle finger.
Cap.
Cosell for president.
Jorge.
Cosell for president.
The Greg.
The one that they didn't choose.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jorge, you're an idiot. Greg, you're picking the streaker, but ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner.
Woo! Ooh.
And that winner...
it's got to be Momo.
Is Ramona Shelburne.
Yeah!
That a girl, Momo. Yeah, they got a fan just sitting in the stands, and he just middle fingered the guy, and Don Meredith said, "His team is number one." He's saying he's number one. All right, so we'll do the tiebreakers just for fun.
Oh, so exciting.
Way to go, Momo.
Woo!
When a drunk Joe Namath famously told Susie Colbert, "I just want to kiss you."
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
What year was that? Momo, take a guess.
1982.
Cap.
1999.
Bergie.
1983.
Jorge.
88.
2003.
Whoa.
Wow.
So I think Cap got it by saying 99. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was
2003.
Late?
All right. Second tiebreaker, in case you guys both came up in the last one. If you add up the combined score of the two teams in the highest scoring game in Monday Night Football history, what total do you get?
Closest without going over or just closest?
Yeah, closest without going over.
Oh.
All right, so Momo, what was the score?
Well, I don't want to go first.
Well, you already won.
Okay.
That's why I'm making you go first. So what do you think? What's a high scoring game?
In the 60s.
All right, so you want to guess?
So I will say 110.
Ooh.
Okay.
A little below the 60s.
All right, Cap.
87.
Bergman.
134. High scoring game.
You think the score of the game was 70-64?
Yeah. Jorge.
I'll go 72.
The answer is 105, and you guys
I wasn't that bad of a guess then.
You guys all saw the game. Rams 54, Chiefs 51 at the Coliseum in 2018.
1 million.
Yeah, on the outside. All right. Congratulations, Ramona. Woo! You are on the board. Right. Jorge, hit the super stager. And joining us now are George Sedano and Scott Kaplan. Sedano, how are you, man?
I'm good. Good to hear your voice after I saw you earlier.
Yeah, I saw George in the elevator, and he was. You're having one of those days, George, where you're doing. You and your wife are handing off children in the middle of the street, trying to get everybody to their events.
Oh, correct. That was it. There was a scheduling snafu today. I didn't realize my services were needed, so I was going to be in the studio. And then got a text like...
Well, you were in the studio, just more brief than you thought.
Right. And then it's like, "Where are you?" And I'm like, "Oh, crap. Okay, I'll be there soon."
That's the dreaded text when your wife texts you, "Where are you?" Yeah. Oh, God, what did I forget? Well, the thing that surprised me most is what you told me is that... was it Aria that has a soccer game? And I thought...
The volleyball game.
And I thought Aria was like 5.
No, 8.
And Aria's 8.
Yeah.
So they're already... Momo, you don't have that much time left before your kids are going to be in organized sports.
Yeah. My just started organized sports on Sunday.
Yeah.
Daniel's playing in the Pee Wee Soccer League. Okay.
Guess who volunteered
to be assistant
Sweep
coach?
Sweep the leg. Oh, did you?
Yes.
Have you had a practice yet?
We had a practice and a game, and these kids
Is this pack soccer where they all run in a giant pack wherever the ball is?
Yeah, it's like hive. Yeah. It looks like a beehive. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, love it.
And but I figured like they're 3 and 4 year olds.
Yeah.
And my main goal was to get what are the two things you need to know?
Have fun.
Have fun. Okay, you're being you're like lighthearted.
Momo, the very first thing is
not your hands. It's soccer.
Yeah.
Okay. Great advice.
I want you to walk out there and look him straight in the eye with a dead serious look on your face and said, if you remember only one thing, I want you to remember these three words.
Okay.
Are you ready? Sweep the leg.
Oh, jeez.
When you lose, a little piece of you dies, Momo.
Okay, listen. They're 3 years old. My son is going to be four in a couple weeks. George's son is going to be four in a couple weeks. Okay?
Eight days.
Wow.
Hey, Mateo, happy birthday.
So, George, if you're like me, you're at a stage where they you can get him to say really funny things. He'll just repeat it back.
Mm-hmm.
So I've taught Daniel a new joke. Okay, we went to the beach, and he was excited about the boats, and he was like, Mommy, are those pirate boats? And I was like, yeah, those are pirate boats. So I've now taught him to sing, yo-ho, yo-ho, pirate's life for me. It's very cute when he does it. And I also taught him a really stupid joke. I said, what's the pirate's favorite letter? And
R.
He said, R, but it should be the C. And can you just imagine this? I know.
Did Michael Thompson slip into the studio and no one noticed?
But I will try to get this on tape for you. I can get Daniel to say it now.
You can do the whole joke?
It's so cute when he's like, when this little three-year-old saying this to you. So you definitely cannot teach three-year-olds to sweep the leg because they will totally repeat that.
Oh, yeah.
I remember one time Lisa was driving and Jack was in the back seat and he was three or four. Some guy cut her off and she goes, jackass. And Jack out of the back seat goes, jackass. Lisa goes, no.
I know. They pick up everything. Like, right? Yeah. There's a stupid rhyme he listened to once.
They are, right. They are
the
sponges.
And the rhyme goes, you're not a nice kid. You're a bully. And he keeps saying that to everybody who doesn't do what he wants. So he said it to his teacher the other day. God, no, don't say that. God, don't.
All right. Hey, by the way, let me get this in. Game of Games was powered by Call Jacob. Winning matters. That's why after an accident, you call our buddy Jacob and Ronnie. Calljacob.com or call 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. All right, yeah. Sedano and Cap. Mm-hmm. So many playoff teams from last year looked awful this weekend.
Terrible.
Bengals, Niners, Rams, Packers, Cowboys, Raiders, Cardinals, all in the playoffs last year, all lose. Cap, if I made you after 1 week identify the best team in the NFC, who is it?
Best team in the NFC.
Oof.
I'm going to probably immediately just say Tampa.
Oh,
I don't think that's a bad answer, but George, I said Minnesota.
Yep. That's who it's right now. One week in, I would take the Minnesota Vikings over anyone in the NFC right now.
I think Minnesota has really hard receivers to cover. They have a competent quarterback in Kirk Cousins. They have a good running back in Dalvin Cook. And they have an aggressive defense and a good new coach who likes ground plays.
And by the way, John, they
Kevin
had
O'Connell, the guy.
Oh, that's what
he was. Yeah, he used to work for McVay.
They had a great defense just a couple of years ago, and then they suffered a lot of injuries and COVID stuff happened, and they struggled on that side of the ball. But the talent on the defense is still mostly intact.
You guys can make fun of me, Sonano and Cap. I am out of my survivor pool.
I heard.
After
I heard.
One
Tennessee.
Week, I picked Tennessee at home to beat the Giants, and I'm not even mad because of what Brian Daboll, the Giants coach, did. I want to ask you guys about it. I don't understand why more coaches don't do this. And, Cap, you've worked sidelines for a lot of NFL games, and there's always been this understanding that if you're down 7 at the end of a game, let's say it's 20-13, and you score, you kick the extra point and get the game into overtime. I don't understand why. If I've got another team on its heels, I thought that LSU blew it. When they had that game against Florida State last week, and they get it to within one with 10 seconds to go in the game.
Just go run it in into the end zone.
Cappy, even if you don't make it, you can live with yourself that you went for it, right? I mean, why don't more coaches go for it in that scenario?
And by the way, just one other detail on that. When you're on the road and you've got that opportunity, you got to try and go for the win. All you're doing by kicking the extra point is prolonging the game with no guarantee that you're going to win. It's either go win it right now or we'll have to just live with the consequences
Wait
of the decision.
You were killing what's-his-face, the Chargers head coach last week to me because you feel like he goes for it too much.
No, but when you're on the road and you have a short distance to go and you've got a chance to go for the win, I like to be a bit more aggressive and go for the win. That's all.
And by the way, George, I'm glad you brought up Brandon Staley, who likes to go for it on fourth down. There's a high school coach in Arkansas.
Who never punts.
Refuses to punt.
He does.
There's a guy in Vegas who used to do that too. Yeah.
He does not have a punter. Now, You got to have a really good team to get away with this. But his logic, and I saw a whole Real Sports piece on this, his logic is what you want in football more than anything is you want the ball. You never, ever want to voluntarily give up the ball. If you have it, make them take it away from you. Even if it's 4th and 20 from your own 5, see if you can make it. And if you don't make it and they score, then you get the ball back. And when he explained it that way, I thought, it's not as crazy as it sounds, going for it all the time.
Well,
like
in
Brandon
high school,
Staley
definitely
does.
You can get be a little more, especially if you have talent, right? In high school, you can do that more. But I'm with you. I look, it's funny. For years, Belichick was kind of ahead of the curve on this stuff, going back like almost 15 years ago. I remember a game where the Patriots and Colts, this is the peak Brady Manning
stuff. On a Sunday night, yep.
Yeah. And they Belichick went for it a ton of times on fourth down. He got criticized because they got stopped on the last play of the game, basically. But no one talked about all the other times he went for it and converted in that same game.
And his argument, George, was, I know what happens when Peyton Manning gets the ball.
Right.
He puts points on the board for them. Why do I want to give him the ball?
Yeah.
So, Cap, is it all that ridiculous if I just refuse to punt except if it's like 4th and 30?
In the NFL?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Because punting is a defensive play, and it changes field position.
Yep.
So yeah, you're using the old Jim Mora argument. Not young Jim, but the older Jim, the former coach of the—
You mean playoffs?
Yeah, that guy. I used to do a radio show, Jim, who's one of the great guys of all time.
Yes.
And Jim used to say, he would beat it over me. He'd go, Ireland, a punt is a good play. Why do you keep criticizing punts? A punt's a good play. If you can trap the other team down there and win field position, that's a good play. So that's your argument, Cap, right? Is that if you can win the field position battle, you can steal the game?
Right. I mean, if you've got a punter who can place the ball, and somebody you can count on. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the Jets punter kick one into the stands the other day, and I don't mean like past the end zone. I mean—
No, into the stands. Yeah, he shanked it. Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you've got a good punter, you can change field position. And again, that's a defensive play. So you're trying to pin somebody down there.
You know what, though? I'll say this, Cappy. I've known you for 20 years, man. When young Scott Kaplan would have gone for it, man. Like, you have gotten risk-averse as you've gotten old, man. What the hell?
Well, you know, George, as a former kicker, I've got a real soft spot for the punters. So I'm trying to think. I think in Buffalo, for example, when the Bills played the Rams, the Bills never punted.
Right.
So I kind of felt like, man, the guy from the Bills, he never got to really show off his skills.
By the way, Ryan, I don't think the USC punter has punted in 2 games.
Oh, yeah. My God, really?
Yeah, I just think all they do is run up the score and score touchdowns, and even when they don't score touchdowns, they kick field goals. I just don't think that kid's ever going to punt. But, hey, settle an argument. Momo and I made a mythical money bet. She thinks Seahawks at home tonight take care of business.
I just got the points, though. I took the points.
Yeah, I like them plus the points, too.
I like Russell Wilson to go in there and put on a show. Cap, what do you think?
Me too. What's the spread, by the way?
Six and a half.
Yeah, no, I got to take Denver in this game. I figure Russell Wilson goes back. There's all the emotion. By the way, I'm not sure how it exactly goes. Like, do the Seattle Seahawks fans say, hey, Russ, thanks for coming back, and you were great here and won a Super Bowl and took us to another one? Or do they say, boo, Russell Wilson, you're now in an opposing uniform and you forced your way out of town?
Dude.
Yeah, you can't boo Russell Wilson.
The signs that you've been seeing so far are not all that polite.
Wow, like Russell
Wilson. I'll find a couple.
Yeah, that's kind of weak sauce because, dude, you were like a very average franchise until he took you to the Super Bowl a couple of times.
Speaking of kickers, I know this is a completely different art form, but what happened to all the kickers in the NFL yesterday?
There was a stretch in the what I like to call the witching hour, which is basically 12:30 p.m.
Right.
till about 1:15
when Andrew Siciliano's head explodes every week. Yeah.
Right,
and
right.
Scott Hansen says it's the witching hour.
I love it.
Yeah, does he call it the witching hour? Yeah. I didn't know. I don't have Hansen. I have Siciliano.
Yeah, I have Hansen.
So it is the witching hour, right? That 45-minute stretch. And anyone who's had a child understands this, that there's a witching hour. They start screaming and yelling when they're babies, and
it's
there's nothing you can do.
It's about 4 to 6 p.m.
Maybe you just deal with it. Right, exactly.
That's
the NFL's version of the witching hour. And in that witching hour, in that 45-minute span, 6 kicks were missed or blocked in that stretch. Ooh. It was crazy.
And what's weird is like, for example, the guy from the Cincinnati Bengals, who's a second-year player who last year, remember, he was being celebrated, like, what a rookie season. That guy hit like a 59-yard field goal
Evan
early
McPherson,
in the game.
Yeah.
And then he winds up missing like a 28-yarder. Yeah. And it just kind of goes to show you, I'm going to get really geeky here for a second, but the precision when it comes to the entire operation, the snap has to be right, the hold has to hit the spot, and the kicker has to then kick the ball. When a snap is high and a holder puts it down and it's not even close to where it was originally supposed to be spotted, it can screw up the entire thing.
What position did you play again in college?
Well, I mean, clearly, obviously. I mean, come on, man. This is my deal. This is my one small area of expertise, baby.
I'm just asking.
I'm a kicker. I'm okay, still a kicker to this day.
Well, yesterday you could have been better than like half the guys in the NFL.
No way, dude. Did you see him try to kick a ball in SoFi last season?
I mean, even I have to admit. I mean, John, it's going to take me a good year or so to get myself back into shape. I mean, man,
son, who's a college kicker in D2, was out kicking him by a mile, if I remember correctly.
Not even close.
I mean, I just think, like, if you're a kicker in the NFL and you have a chance to win or tie a game, you just, like, that's all you're there for, and you cannot shank the ball. Like, I mean, the one guy hit the upright. That was a long field goal.
Yeah.
The Falcons kicker got blocked because it was a 60-yarder. That's understandable, okay? Sure. But the other ones were just inexcusable.
Yeah, like that guy in Tennessee had a 47-yarder to win the game. High school kickers make that.
You got to nail that.
Some of the signs, 12 greater than 3, apparently a Seattle sports talk radio station is passing out. 12 greater than 3 for the Russell Wilson return, 12th man.
Oh, I see it.
Seattle.
I see the signs behind RG3 and these guys now and Steve Young.
Yeah, I would expect the Seattle fans to not be welcoming, because it's not like he left because his contract ended and he went somewhere else and the team didn't want to re-sign him. He forced his way out of there and badmouthed them on the way out the door.
Yeah. Well, speaking of walked out the door, Sliwa walked out the Charger door and is now a Raider fan. I mean, listen, I would imagine you and Momo Ireland are all in on Sliwa being part of the Raider Nation.
Well, he's now been indoctrinated. He knows that him and Bergman now have been to a Raider game together, and they know. Yeah. See, Raider games are like going to an amusement park. Number one, it's like Halloween. Everybody's dressed up. The girls are, let's just say, very, very into it.
Yeah.
Very supportive if you're rooting for the Raiders.
Yeah.
Most stadiums where you go to a Raider game, even if it's a road game, there are more Raider fans than the other. Bergman, yesterday, what was the breakdown? Charger fans versus Raider fans, roughly.
75-25 Raider fans.
For a Charger home game.
Easy.
Yeah, which is the greatest.
That seemed to have helped a lot in the fourth quarter when they lost.
Yeah, I don't know how good they're going to be.
Right,
no, I don't know how good they're going to be. I think the Chargers – how about that Thursday night game, boys?
Thursday.
Chargers
the Rams,
at,
be, Thursday.
Chargers at the Chiefs Thursday.
That will also be majority Raider fans. I mean, the Bills fans were like 50-50, for God's sake.
Yeah, but Chargers-Chiefs Thursday is for Amazon's first game.
Oh, this Thursday.
This Thursday.
Chiefs fans travel too, I feel like. You know, not like the Bills fans.
Yeah, but it's in KC, George.
Oh, it's in KC.
Yeah.
There'll be more Chiefs fans.
And there are no,
definitely, yeah.
There are no Charger fans that travel. There aren't even Charger fans that go to the home games.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
no.
You tell them. You tell them, John Ireland.
Yeah.
There you go. You're singing Scott Kaplan's tune now.
But they're good, Cappy. One thing I noticed, because I'm a Raider fan, Derek Carr had no time to throw. You had Bosa coming from one edge and Khalil Mack coming from the other.
Khalil was
and
so
they
good.
They just collapsed on him.
Right. Yeah,
I was surprised, though. Derek Carr, when you look at the numbers when the game's over and you think to yourself, man, oh, man, like, first of all, he targeted Devontae Adams 47% of the passes, which is getting really nerdy stuff here. But the other
part of it is
you would just think that a guy like Derek Carr would have, like, the quarterback timer in his head and would know, given the two pass rushers on
the
outside.
The last play of the game, he held the ball forever.
Right. I was shocked that Derek Carr did not get rid of that ball. You just have to take a chance.
All right, that's one of many, many things that Sedano and Cap are getting ready to discuss.
We're talking about all the sex in Game of Thrones, too.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that was hot last night.
Oh, it was pretty hot, wasn't it?
Oh, I haven't started House of Dragons.
Let me tell you,
I'm going to go on a binge.
John, you know the formula. The formula is what? What are the two formulas on Game of Thrones?
It's pretty easy. Last week was violence. This week was sex.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Okay. Yeah, last week was the crazy, like, fight scene. And this week was like half the episode was sex.
God bless him.
It was hot.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, a little creepy. There was definitely a little.
Well, I mean, it's the Targaryens,
you know
what I'm saying. Yeah,
wait a minute. That's how Game of Thrones started.
Oh, yeah.
Is
when
Jaime
and Cersei
hooked up.
Yeah.
So it's very Targaryen is what I'll say.
Okay. Supercross Truck brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. Sedano and Cap coming at you next. ESPN LA.